Before we unpack that and think about what that parable might mean for us on this great day of Hallie's baptism, let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for the day. We thank you for this day when we can come and gather together, celebrating a journey of faith. Lord, I thank you that we are all on this journey, and we pray that we can think about that this morning. May we have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've heard the saying, a picture paints a thousand words. We've got some pictures coming up on the screen. And the road sign, some of us hopefully will be aware of that, but generally the sense of a picture painting a thousand words means that you can see something and it can communicate something way more effectively than kind of a whole list of instructions or words up on the screen. So what do we think, the road sign, what is this supposed to tell us about? Any ideas? Shout it out to me. Children, did I hear school somewhere? Yeah, I might have heard school. So it means school, and when we see that, we think, okay, there's a school, I need to drive more carefully, I need to be more aware of what's happening around me. And so we pay attention to what that means. How about the green cross? In places all over the world, you can see this, and whether you speak or read the language, generally, you know what it means. And most of us, I think, might have had to try and find one of these at some time on a vacation. But who knows what this cross means? Pharmacy, brilliant. Everyone been to one in a foreign country? Yeah, I have. Quite a lot of us might have. But it's always good because we can't always read what the signs mean, but we know from seeing that cross that we know that we can get medications and that we can get some help relatively easily. The next picture to the side of it is a font, a bit different from our wooden one here, but at the back we have a stone font. And in the church, the baptismal font is a way of welcoming people into the church family of God, into a journey of faith. And that's why if you turn around and look at the back, that's why it's by our door, because it's what you do when you come into the church, you're baptized and welcomed in to the community of faith. These things give us pictures and images of kind of knowing what it's all about. In baptism, we kind of are welcoming Hallie, and we have welcomed Hallie into our church family. And there were signs in the baptism, that pictures that hopefully you kind of recognise. So there was the water, first of all. And in baptism, that water is symbolising the forgiveness and love that Jesus offers to everyone who comes to him. So it's kind of that sense of being washed clean. And those serious promises that were being made about renouncing sin, the devil, that's kind of saying that I want to be washed clean. I want to live Jesus' way. And then we've got the sign of the cross. And the only way that any of us can do that, can follow God's way, is because we've got the example of Jesus, we've got the forgiveness of Jesus that was granted through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, and through him rising up to be in glory, to be the king of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. You see, baptism is the start of a journey of faith. Baptizing Hallie today doesn't mean poof, yay, done, dusted, but it's a beginning of a journey, a lifelong journey. And godparents and parents, you made promises about kind of walking alongside that journey with her. And those of us that are baptized ourselves, we have people do that for us, and in our confirmation, those of us that have been confirmed, we've then taken that on for ourselves. You see, baptism is the start of a journey where we follow in Jesus' steps, living with him as king. See, Jesus came to offer a way of living, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we want to try and live by his rules, by his examples, by the love that he has shown to us. And we can read about that in our Bibles. This is the beginning of this is the beginning of school term, but the end of our summer series on the parables. And in the parables, they're kind of like pictures. Quite often the parables give pictures and images of what Jesus' kingdom is like. And we've had several over the summer. We've got the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl, something that someone went and sought for, and they found a great treasure. And they found that it was better than any other ideology or faith, that actually living out the kingdom is a precious thing. We had that the kingdom of heaven is like a net that drags in the fish, and good and bad, there will be a day of judgment when we kind of need to stand before God. And luckily, we've got Jesus as our kind of advocate, that he's standing up for us and saying that he's one of mine. We've got the parable of the yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast hidden in dough, and it spreads out, showing that God is at work in the world. And we had the kingdom of heaven is like wheat, so like seed in good soil that when it grows, grows up and multiplies. See, these pictures give kind of a glimpse of what God's kingdom is like with Jesus as king, reigning over this world. And in the parable that we had read today, at the end of kind of this wonderful scripture in Romans of about what faith is and who faith is in, we've got this image of not the kingdom of heaven is like, but a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like. This sense that a disciple means someone who follows somebody. So there were lots of disciples of different rabbis, different teachers of the law, and Jesus had his own followers. A disciple was someone who followed the teaching of another teacher. So in this parable, in verse 52, it says that a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like. And it goes on, and we're going to kind of explore exactly what that means. And it says, the teacher of the law who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to unpick what that means, because when we think a teacher of the law, and in some other places it has scribe, we think of people that might be really learned, don't we? Like have really good education. We might think of people that have gone to theological college, that have kind of got PhDs. But actually Jesus is telling this parable to his disciples, to his followers. And they were a bunch of fishermen. They were tax collectors. They probably didn't have a formal education as such. They were ordinary men, and yet they were called by God. You see, God's kingdom is a bit topsy-turvy. The people that we expect might flourish and stuff are not called to that. God often uses the people that we think might have bad reputations or aren't very good or eloquent on their own. But God is able to use all of us, ordinary, everyday lives used for God's kingdom. And so that's who Jesus is talking to. He's saying that the teacher of law, who is a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, is like. So he's talking to his disciples, and they're ordinary people. And yet Jesus, later on in the journey with him, at the end of Matthew's gospel, he gives them this command. So Jesus has died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, and then he was walking on earth for a little bit before he went up to heaven. And before he goes up to heaven, he says this to his disciples. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, Jesus gave his disciples, these ordinary men, this command that actually they were to be like this scribe, that they were to teach others, that they were commanded to teach others to obey everything that Jesus had taught them. See, they didn't have a theological education, but they'd walked alongside Jesus. And they were to make followers of Jesus, who made followers of Jesus, who made followers of Jesus. And that has carried on over these thousands of years to those of us here in the congregation who are followers of Jesus. You see, a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is a follower of Jesus who wants to learn his teaching, who obeys his commands. And baptism is a sign of that. And that's why it's great that we've baptized Hallie this morning. And we baptized her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God in his fullness. And so this parable starts with comparing, that saying that this teacher of the law, who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, is like. And so we've got this image, this person, which means just a follower of Jesus. So a follower of Jesus is like. And then it goes on and says that the teacher of law who becomes a disciple is like the owner of a house who takes from their storehouses both new and old treasures. I'll say that again. The teacher of the law who becomes a disciple is like the owner of a house who takes from their storehouse both new and old treasures. So we'll break that down a little bit. So I think it's saying that those who become a follower of Jesus are like the owner of a house. And How many of us here own houses? That takes quite a lot of responsibility, doesn't it? There's bills to pay, council tax, rent. But even if you don't own the house, there's rent and bills. It's a responsibility. Things need maintenance. Being the owner of a house means that you've got responsibility. And the disciples, they had responsibility. Jesus was saying that people who follow Jesus are like this, and this happens to be somebody who has responsibility. See, the disciples were given in that command in Matthew, at the end of Matthew's gospel, they were given the responsibility to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's something that has carried on down. You see, someone with responsibility to share about the kingdom of God, that is what a follower of Jesus is called to be. The disciples had responsibility for God's kingdom. And if we read on through the Bible, if we carry on through the New Testament, looking at the Acts of the Apostles, we see the story of the early church, where Jesus' disciples, after Jesus has gone back to heaven, after he was raised from the dead, he gives them the command to go and make disciples, and they're sent out. They're sent out and they make disciples of all nations. That's what their plan is to do. And we see examples of that where they go to different parts of the known world at the time. And the letter that we had read from Romans, that passage, the opening kind of few verses, was from Paul, who was somebody that was writing. He did a lot of writing to some of the early churches. And he was writing to remind them about who Jesus was, about what Jesus had come to do, that he had come to rule in his kingdom, to bring both Jews and Gentiles into a relationship with God. And so the disciples had been given that responsibility and they carried it out, they obeyed. But the parable doesn't say just stop at the owner of a house. It says that those who become a follower of Jesus are those alike the owner of a house who takes from their storehouses both new and old treasures. Don't know what you think of, what picture is kind of conjured up for that. At the beginning, I had a picture of like storage units, because they were saying in the old world, in the kind of time of Jesus, they would have kind of storehouses, probably not storage units like we know them, but things where they would place their possessions. So they probably didn't have masses of space. So like some of us might have winter wardrobe and summer wardrobe and change it over. I don't know if you do, I don't. But some people do, don't they? And so it's a bit like that they would kind of have these storehouses where things would be stored and they would kind of take things out and use them at appropriate times and then at other times store them back in the storehouses. So it's not talking about necessarily gems or stones, but it's talking about sort of everyday treasured possessions that you want to keep safe and protected, but that you use. So it also might be sort of important papers and stuff was kept in such of these places. And I think what it's saying, what Jesus was using this image to communicate to his disciples, is saying that he wants them to realize the importance of their Jewish roots. You see, Jesus was a Jew. He was a man of Jewish faith. And he was one of God's chosen people. The whole of the Bible talks about God's chosen people and how that we haven't been able to live up to God's standards, that we'd kind of rebelled against God, and how he wants to bring us back into relationship. And the only way he can do that was through Jesus. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, getting them ready almost for the passage we looked at the end of Matthew, where they're going to be commissioned to go and do this, to share the truth about Jesus. And he's saying, remember the whole story. Remember what I've come to do, that I'm part of God's history, right back from the Old Testament, from the creation of the world to now when Jesus was walking the earth and then going to go and die and rise again and reign in the kingdom of God. You see, he's saying to them that the roots that they have are really important. And a lot of the New Testament was written with the backdrop of the Old Testament. In Matthew's gospel alone, he quotes the Old Testament over 60 times, showing the importance of the Old Testament scriptures being fulfilled in who Jesus was. And in the letter to the Romans that we heard read this morning, Paul quotes the Old Testament in that book alone 69 times, showing the importance of interpreting the Old Testament in light of who Jesus is. So we've got this image. This image of the teacher of the law is someone who's become a disciple of heaven, is like the owner of a storehouse, who takes out both new and old treasures. But what are the lessons for us? I think there's a few things that we can learn from this. We've all got different responsibility, and godparents and parents, you had the responsibility this morning to raise Hallie, knowing about faith. And that's part of all of us who have been baptised ourselves. People made those commitments on our behalf. We're all part of some sort of a family or friendship group, community, in our work, in our schools. We have responsibility like the disciples were given. The command in Matthew 28 is true for us today. I firmly believe that we're to go and make disciples of all nations. And that doesn't have to be a scary, knowing theological Bible knowledge, going to training, but just knowing what God means to us and sharing the truth of who he is with other people. But it does mean we need to know about who God is, and we need to explore that for ourselves and investigate. Don't always believe what I say from up front. Look at the Bible for yourselves. Explore. Read. There's lots of good tools that we can use. But we have responsibility to learn for ourselves and to share that with others. Because I ask us, what are we filling our storehouses with? What do we use on the day to day? What do we want to keep protected? What do we want to bring out to use in order to grow God's kingdom? I was raised by a woman of faith, and we used to read the Bible regularly together. I don't actually remember it, but I was informed that that's what we did, and it meant that when I was old enough, I was reading God's word myself too, studying it, reading it, looking at it, learning it. I did try once to read learn the first chapter of the letter to the Ephesians. Didn't get very far with that, but I have tried to learn different bits, because it's good to bring out of the storehouse sometimes when we're really struggling with things or we're finding things hard. It takes time to go and pick up your Bible and find something encouraging. I mean, it's better with now our apps, or you can say Alexa or Siri, but it's good that sometimes we have those things and knowledge and words of God in our heads already, that we can hold on to them. One that comes to mind this morning is trust in the Lord with your whole heart and lean not on your own understanding. Sometimes there's stuff in the world we don't understand, do we? But the Bible's telling us to trust in the Lord with our whole heart. And there's loads of different scriptures that we can learn and have in our storehouses to bring out in times of trouble. Or even on a good day when we want to be encouraged about walking and following Jesus. And finally, I think also it's telling us, don't ignore the Old Testament. A number of people have said how it's really hard to understand the Old Testament. There seems to be lots of violence. It doesn't seem to match with the God of love that we see in the New Testament through what Jesus has done on the cross. And people are confused about where to begin and where to start. I'd encourage us to read it, those of us that do read our Bibles, to investigate it as well, because we want to see the whole big picture of what God has done in the whole of the Bible. There are lots and lots of different ways that actually we can be helped to understand it. There are commentaries that look at different books of the Bible. There are daily reading notes that kind of break down some of the passages. There's lots of different ways that we can get a better understanding of the Old Testament. So let's not ignore it, because we need the whole of Scripture to see the big picture of God's love for the world. So this parable, I think, is talking about how a follower of Jesus is to walk in his footsteps. That we've been given this commission to go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's been a real privilege to baptize Hallie this morning. But it's all of our responsibility to share the good news of Jesus with others, that we can learn from God's word. So let's think about, in this coming year, as we start a new school year, how are we going to grow more in the knowledge of God? How are we going to grow as disciples in God's kingdom? Going to read the verse one more time. The teacher of the law, who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, is like the owner of a storehouse who takes out both new and old treasures. You see, God created us. He made us. That's what we believe as a church. And so before we even know him or come to know him, he still made us. And so when we become to know him better, we become more and more who he's made us to be. Both the old and the new together, growing in the kingdom of God. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you came for Jew and Gentile alike, for all people, that you use us ordinary people for growing your kingdom, and that we want to be active in following you. Lord, help us to explore who you are. We might not know who you are. Help us to ask those questions, to kind of read and ask about the Christian faith. Help us to grow in our knowledge of you, those that are already following, to be able to walk step by step, following you in ways of love and compassion and honesty and integrity. Lord, be with us as we continue out into the world, into this new school term. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.